Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alongside Alex Ferrario and Grant Francis, I'm Brandon Kiley. One of our favorite times of the week is to be joined by Joey Vitale. Typically on Thursdays. Yesterday, though, it was a very busy day out there at the Centene Community Ice Center as the Blues had their exit interview. So Joey is pulling double duty today. Joined the morning show earlier. Joins us now via the 101 ESPN hotline. Joey, we appreciate the time as always, man. How you doing today?
Joey! Ah, you're so awesome as the offseason!
Hey, fellas, I always miss those in the summertime. I look forward to them when we come back. I wish we can get those chants going a little longer this year.
Tell
but
what,
I'm doing well.
Joe,
thank you for asking.
Every Thursday, T-Bone and I will record ourselves just chanting Joey, and we'll text it to you.
Nah, it's okay. He doesn't need that.
Just don't look at
it. Do not tell me, BK, what I need and I do not need. I can do that.
You know what? My bad. I apologize.
Joey's already been home too long. Look, he's already snapping.
Yeah. Hello. Excuse me. I feel like my wife right now. That's how my wife talking. No. Do not tell me what I need. Okay. Sorry.
You know what? That was on me. Yeah. Bad tone.
He's got a tone problem, Joe. We've been telling him that.
I need to be better there. I'm working on it. Okay. I will try to improve by the time that we get you on again.
Do not tell me what I need and don't need.
Next season.
Damn it.
All right, Joe. I asked this of Doug Armstrong yesterday, and he said he could see both perspectives on it and then did what we do, which is sit on the fence.
Yeah, we're great at it.
I want to ask you the same question. Would you consider this season to be a success for the Blues?
I would. I think that, you know, I guess success, unsuccessful really depends on the expectation you had. My expectation was a team that was going to miss the playoffs. My expectation was a team that was probably going to miss the playoffs by 10-plus points. They certainly proved that wrong. I thought it'd be a team that missed the playoffs and would play 10 plus meaningless games coming down the stretch. They proved that wrong. You know, did I think that Robert Thomas would get over the 80 point threshold? If you told me that at the beginning of the year, I would have said no. I thought he would have been 70 plus. Would you have told me Jordan Kyrou would get another 30 goal season? You know, again, possibly, maybe not. But if he does, I would consider that a success. And would you consider it a success if you look at the Blues goaltending tandem as being, in my mind, the best goaltending tandem next to the Boston Bruins in the whole National Hockey League? I would say, all things considered, I think this year was a success. It wasn't exactly with the cherry on top, making the playoffs, sneaking in there, and maybe making some noise in the first round. I mean, that would have certainly been possible. I think that would have been an A-plus of a year. But I think that this is definitely a successful year. I think the team took a step in the right direction. I think a lot of younger players who've been in the league 3 to 5 years, you know, whether it be a Korobchenko, a Neighbors, or even like a Robert Thomas, all those players took a big leap forward. You know, you're looking at a Robert Thomas as a number one center, not only on your team, but one of the best right now in the Central Division, if not the league, as far as shutting down other teams' opponents, because he did it quite a bit. Binnington continues to impress. He continues to keep you in games. Even with the coaching change, this is a team that was right there to the very end. So I look at all those pieces, the call-ups, the Zachary Bolduc's, that you're starting to see the young draft picks, the Matthew Kessels, to me, those two guys have inked themselves in as the top 4D and a top 6 forward. So plenty of positives, and I think that the Blues fans should be happy. Not completely satisfied, but definitely happy with the step this team took this year.
So, Joe, I think it was a success for Drew Bannister also in his first year as an NHL head coach. Got that team to the 80-game mark before they were officially eliminated from the playoffs. We talked about this earlier, and you're somebody who has seen plenty of different coaches in the National Hockey League. What is it? What's the impact? What's the importance of an NHL head coach in today's game?
Well, I think the most impressive head coaches in the National Hockey League are first of all, they're great communicators and they're great people. I think that, you know, you look at the Scotty Bowmans and the Mike Keenans, you know, all those legendary coaches, you know, they were at the time in X's and O's style. I mean, they had different, yeah, neutral zones. We all remember when the New Jersey Devils, they won the Stanley Cup, I believe it was 95, with that neutral zone trap. You know, the game has evolved. I don't know if a coach really out-coaches anymore from an X's and O's standpoint. I think with the analytics and the video and the scouting reports, and let's be honest, it's such an ever-flowing game. You know, it's not like football. So I like to say that if people think that being a good coach in this league is about the X's and O's and the systems and the philosophy, it's, to me, throw that out the window, because every team is right there now and every team is so close and pretty much the game is played almost the exact same way. I think that the best coaches, to me, are those great communicators. And I think that that's what Chief was, why he was so successful. And I think for Drew Bannister, why he came in, he was super successful. You got to be a good communicator and you got to be a good person, because these players, I'm telling you, these players sniff it out. I'm not going to, you know, call out the coach I was a part of, but when I was a part of a team in the National Hockey League, you know, we had one coach who was just really, really mouthy. He was always around the players, always giddy, always joking around. And I don't know if he necessarily respected the space between you're a coach and we're a player. And, you know, one, it was a small thing. It's all about the small things, guys, I'm telling you. But we would go to these cities. Remember, I'm on a bus with some superstar players, and all these fans are waiting outside the bus. And this head coach would get off, and he would be the first one to start signing autographs with all these people. And it just was a bad look, right? A lot of times you'll see Drew Bannister, he just goes right through. He allows the fans to see the player. Or you'll see him a lot of times just sit on the bus. And what I'm saying that is an example, is that these players are smart, and they can see through the phonies, and they can see where there's a good person and not so good person. Or maybe our coach is in it for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. And I think that Drew Bannister, to me, he's in it for the right reasons. The way he comes into media scrums, the way he says good morning, everyone, the way he says thank you, he's polite, he's a gentleman, and of course, he's a very honest but fair coach, is what you have to appreciate as a Blues player, and I know all the players that have played under Drew Bannister certainly feel that way too.
We're talking to Joey Vitale here on 101 ESPN. You can also see him on Bally Sports Midwest throughout the Blues season. We certainly appreciate all of his time that he's given us here on BK and Ferrario. Joe, as you look towards the offseason now and you think about what the biggest need would be, the biggest want would be to fill out this lineup heading into next year, where does your attention turn? Whether it's a position, a style of player, what do you think that the Blues need to add this offseason prior to opening night of 2024?
You know, BK, there's a few of them, but if I had to pick one, I think that this team needs to add a little bit of personality. I'm going to say veteran personality, not rookie personality, not like a young, crazy, dumb kid to come in and just be the light of the room. And you know what I'm trying to say? I'm talking about a player that has veteran presence, but has that, just that pizzazz. You know what I mean? He just brings that energy, and he's going to be good for the culture. You know, I was hanging out with Alexander Steen quite a bit on the two road trips ago. We were in San Jose and just small talking, and I'm listening to Alexander Steen talk, and this is a guy that just got it, right? In the world, there's hockey players, and there's people that just get it, and people just don't get it. And Steen was always one of those people, he just got it, right? He understood. He knew how you should run a room. He knew how you should show up. He knew how you should dress. He knew when to say the right things and when not to say it, when to keep your mouth shut. You know, he figured out how to be just like a really good player for the culture. And, you know, you look at Braden Schenn, who, by the way, I think he's done a great job as his first year in the captain. It wasn't easy because he's lost a lot of veterans and a lot of help over the last 2 years around him, including their captain, Ryan O'Reilly. But I think that Braden Schenn could use a little help. I think he needs more support from a veteran presence about, hey, this is how we're going to do things. This is why we do things the way we do. Remember when Ryan O'Reilly was here, he was out there to the wee hours, pulling young kids, pulling veteran guys. They actually called him the skills coach. You know, halfway through the season, he got the new name Skillsy because he actually became the skills coach when he was here. That to me is a player that really galvanizes the group about, this is how not only we play the game, but this is what we represent. We represent work ethic, we represent character, we represent the skills of the game, and we're going to represent how to play a very consistent, competitive game. And I think you had a good number of guys this year that were doing that, but I think you had some stragglers, to be honest. And I think those stragglers, they needed to be pulled along by some older players, you know, and that's what Chief was very fortunate to have when he was here. You know, it wasn't just Chief. Chief would always say, you know, hey, listen, I'm only one guy. I need the players. You know, he would always say, I got Steiner yanking a guy over here. You got O'Reilly pushing the pace over here. He would always talk about Jay Bomeister. And these aren't the rah-rah guys always, right? Jay Bomeister had just this very stoic, quiet presence where he just did his job. And then when he did talk, boy, you listened, right? Or he let his playing do the talking, or even just his presence. You just felt when Jay Bomeister was in the room, and you knew you better be buttoned up. So I think, to me, if you could break that down, I don't know how you would break that down. I don't know exactly what that player looks like or what type of player is in the unrestricted free agent market. Sure. Like that. But I would say that to me is going to be a big piece moving forward. Because, again, I think X's and O's, I think talent, skill-wise, I think you're right there. And you do not have a problem that I feel like 85% of the league has right now, and that's bad goaltending. So you got that as well. So add a little personality, bring a veteran in to assist the captain and all these other players about the culture, how you want this thing moving forward.
Joe, final one for me, and I think we all can agree, like, defensively, this team improved massively from 2 years ago to this, of course, last season to this season. Do you feel like, though, that there needs to be improvements defensively from the team in terms of looking for different bodies to come in?
You know, Alex, I don't know. I really don't know, because I'll be honest with you. I know that some people were hard on Torrey Krug this year. I actually think Torrey Krug had a really good season.
Totally agree.
I mean, you look at his point totals for how much he's making, for where he's at in the depth chart. I think he pretty much nailed what he needed to nail point-wise. And you tell me a kid his size in the league that's as competitive as he is that's also going to run your top power play. I mean, to me, I know that Torrey Krug was the question mark last offseason. I think there was obviously clear and made public that they tried to trade him, and he refused to be traded. And I think he came in and responded and had a hell of a year. And you're looking at Nick Leddy and Colton Parayko. I mean, you tell me a more solid top defensive pair than that in the National Hockey League. So that's three right off the hop. To me, Matthew Kessel is now going to slide in there with Justin Falk because they're going to be battling for that 4-5 spot. You know what? Marco Scandella is a UFA. I think we've seen his final game as a Blues player. Can you bring in another culture, Robert Bortuzzo, 6, maybe a Joel Edmondson we were talking about this morning type of player? Yeah, he can bring personality. He can bring that bite, and he can certainly defend. So I think, yeah, you're going to add a piece. You're going to add by subtraction because you know that I think Marco Scandella is going to have to walk. So you are going to add a piece. So I think that's clear. And I think from there, you got to be pretty happy with some of the veterans and some of the play out of this year, including what I believe to be, again, probably the best top pair, at least in the Central, between Leddy and Colton Parayko. Those guys, they logged a lot of ice time this year, fellas. I know they didn't get this team to where they need to be, but they put a lot on their shoulders, and they're playing half the game, and they're going out there almost every shift against the whole – obviously National Hockey League's best. So all things considering, I would say that defensively, yes, maybe a tweak or two, but I don't know if it's as big as you need.
Joe, final question that I've got for you. I did want to ask you about Arizona, who is going to be moving. The Arizona Coyotes, quote-unquote, will stay back in Arizona, and they'll be just dormant for the foreseeable future. And the team, everything hockey operations-wise, is moving up to Utah. You played for that organization in your career, a couple of years there at the end. What was this experience like for you to see all of this go down the way that it did?
You know, it was obviously, it was hard. It was very, very hard. And, you know, I think that my years there and the fan support there, for the passion that was there, it was hard to see that happen because financially and ownership wise, they just couldn't figure it out, but they had all the pieces. They had the city, they had the fans, they had the team. It's just money wise. I mean, it comes down to that. It really just couldn't come together. But you know, Todd Walsh, who does a lot of the TV for them, he actually had a really great 5-minute bit on their Bally side. I think it's Bally, I'm pretty sure, but I'm sure you guys maybe have seen it. And he broke it down perfectly. You know, this game is about the people, and he went into some stories about when, you know, his mom passed away and certain players reached out, or when his dad passed away. And I think it was one of either the general manager, or the head coach, you know, basically was there for him. And, you know, and he looked at his years there in Arizona. He's been there since the beginning, and he recognized that it is, and it's about the people, and you can splice this game however you want it. But now that that's gone, you know, you look at the people, you know, and that's what it really hit home with me, because now that it's gone and not there anymore, you think about the people, you think about the stands, who was the equipment manager. He's been there since the Winnipeg Exchange. And he's, you know, the way he just conducted himself with professionalism and the way Shane Doan ran that room, which was so much kindness and so much humility. You know, it is about those people. I remember a small Blues tie into all how it's about people is I'll never forget when COVID hit and the Blues had a furlough, a bunch of people. And I was sitting at home and the world was coming to an end. I didn't know what was going on. We just had our fourth baby and I was as a lost puppy gets. And I get a call from who we were just talking about, Alexander Steen. He calls me out of the blue one day. I answer. I'm all just shambles. And he just called to check in. He's like, man, I heard what's going on. I'm just thinking about you. You know, little things like that. I'm up here in Philadelphia with my daughter today. She just turned 13. Huge shout out to Summer, who just turned 13. But, you know, Alex, I told this story on the air before, but when the day she was born, I was in the minors. And I went to the 13 years ago, I was in Norfolk. And I come to the rink, my wife's in labor, and I just think I'm going to miss it. And it was Billy Guerin. He's like, what are you doing? Like, my wife's in labor, but it's a, you know, 12-hour drive. I'm never going to make it. He goes, Jeff Barrett, your owner's here. He brought his car. Go grab his keys. You go home right now, and you're going to at least try. And sure enough, I drove like a bat out of hell coming in, 100 miles an hour, 12-hour drive. I walk in, my wife's pushing, and 20 minutes later, I welcome my first daughter to the world.
Awesome.
So it's like those Billy G moments, right? And Jeff Barrett, our owner at the time, just giving me his keys and just says, go. Don't even worry about, here's my credit card, fill up the tank, whatever you need. So it's unfortunate. It makes you really sad, but that's what sports is about. Sports is about the people. It's about the memories. It's about especially the people there for you when, you know, let's be honest, when you really, really need somebody. It's not always the good times. It's more of the bad times when you're down in the dumps and you need a shoulder to cry on or a pat on behind just to kind of get going again. And it's those hockey people that really make this world, to me, so special. And I know for Todd and everyone out in Arizona, that's what they're going to miss the most.
Hey, Joe, this was great, man. Thank you so much for that perspective. I think it's worthwhile, especially as an organization is ripped out of its roots right now. Hopefully Arizona gets another opportunity with ownership that can come in.
Better and, ownership.
give them what they deserve down there. I think that's eventually going to take place, but it could be a little bit. So appreciate you giving us that perspective. Appreciate you joining us all season long here on BK and Ferrario. All the best to you and the family, man. Enjoy yourself up there in Philly. We'll talk with you again soon.
Sounds good, boys. Always great chatting on our Thursday afternoons and evenings. And you guys have got such a wonderful midday show going. And keep up the great work. Love listening to you. I'll be listening all summer. And if ever you have a slow day and you need to fill some time, never hesitate. Shoot me a text. I'd love to hop on and we'll small talk and hot stove some stuff.
You're the best, man.
Appreciate you.
Okay, boys. See ya.
See you, Joey Vitale. Always appreciate his time. He's a unique perspective here on BK and Ferrario.